You're listening to Barrel Talk Radio. Brought to you by Barrel Horse World. Barrel Talk Radio will be hosting a growing number of barrel racing podcasts.
Need help promoting or creating your own podcast?
Email podcast@barreltalkradio.com.
And today we have Brandon Wilson with us.
How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time out and coming up here to the BFA and doing a podcast with me.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, I'm going to just start off just right off the bat of how I met this man. We were at the Breeders' Challenge. I know your wife, Jamie Wilson, very successful in the barrel racing and has been having a great year. I sat with them at the Breeders' Challenge table during the draw party. And everybody, it was like we had just a different group of people from all over.
We were.
It was very interesting. Everybody was talking about, you know, the Breeders' Challenge and how cool it was to have this, you know, draw party. And it was great. But then I was like more interested in, you know, meeting Jamie's husband and what he, you know, what his story was. And then when he started telling me, I'm like, wow.
She didn't let me off the farm much.
Well, I'm glad you got out tonight. I thought your story was so good, and people need to hear it.
Yes, ma'am.
And I really, really appreciate you, you know, really being raw and laying it out there of what happened and, you know, the whole thing of how it happened to, I mean, I want to hear your whole story, you know, where you grew up, how you got into horses, how you met this beautiful redhead. you have a small little girl. It's beautiful. And,
yes, ma'am.
You know, just how you got to this point and where we are today. But it was just too good of a story to not share. And I really appreciate you, you know, being here and laying it out where maybe other people, you know, can get help and healed and all the good things that's happened to you.
Well, I'm excited for all your success you've encountered this year.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I've been keeping tabs on you a little bit.
Yeah. Well, is she letting you watch TV at home?
No, she figured out how to live stream all these barrel races. That's all that's ever on the TV. When she's not there, that's what's on the TV.
Yeah, I know it. It's addicting. So tell us where you're from and how you got involved in horses, you know, how you met your beautiful wife. And
okay. Well, I grew up in between Midland, Texas and East Texas.
Okay.
And I grew up on a cutting horse breeding farm. My dad took his last horse to the cutting horse fraternity, I think, in 2001.
Wow.
It was 2001, and it was a horse that we'd raised and trained and broke, and he went all the way through our program.
Wow. I didn't know you had a cutting background. That's awesome.
Yes, ma'am. I still play in it every now and then when somebody's got a good horse.
Yeah. They're fun to ride.
Got off the farm and ran as far away from farm and ranch work as I could.
Work. That was the key word, right?
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah. And then God has a sense of humor, and I met a cowgirl in Dallas, of all places. And
what? Really? Where'd you all meet? I got to know.
A really nasty, shady bar. And I was on
one of those great stories.
Yeah, I was on a date with one of her good friends.
Really?
And, yeah, I asked
that's
her out.
That's cool.
And, yeah.
You were more attracted to the friend. Like, that's more my... Or you had conversation.
The girl I was on a date with was really just a friend. I was literally I was literally her arm candy for the night.
And nice.
Yeah, she begged me to come out because I had a pretty brand new pickup back then.
And
yeah. So
you were a score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then we got married in 2012, and it was costing us more to board our horses in Dallas than it was for our mortgage.
So I believe that.
So we got married and bought the farm in Weatherford, and we've been out there ever since.
Awesome. So when was this, you think, about
when
what year? You guys
got married
and
2012 was a crazy year. We got married, paid for our wedding, paid for our honeymoon, and bought 12 acres. It was 12 acres at the time.
Nice.
And all in like 3 months.
Wow. Well, you had to get set up, right?
Yes,
set up shop.
Yeah. Yeah, and we built the place from scratch, which I don't recommend.
Wow.
I recommend buying when it's already done. It's a whole lot easier.
You just went right back into work mode.
That's exactly what the joke is.
Oh, that's funny. That's awesome. But, so yeah, good for you guys.
And then we started building our breeding program and building our horse program. And I guess it was about a year after my daughter was born, Jamie went full-time training. And you know, she learned from some really good people. And it's been fun to watch God bless her program and keep growing and keep growing and keep growing.
And we talked about that at the Breeders' Challenge about how, you know, so she was into barrel racing.
She's been barrel racing since I think they could strap her to a saddle.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have a horse background.
I've been riding horse. I remember getting bucked off. Some of my first memories are getting bucked off in cotton fields on 2 and 3 year old futurity colts my dad was training.
Oh, boy.
So, but somebody had to ride them, and cotton fields are soft. So.
That's it. I like it.
Yeah.
So what do you do now for a living?
My family's in the oil and gas business.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you all have that. So then Jamie is, you know, you kind of help her build a kind of a breeding program, or are you buying prospects and then going to the futurity pen?
We are getting into the breeding. We're having our first foal next year.
Awesome.
And we were buying geldings, and we've had some success taking them out and rodeoing on them, showing them, and selling those. But I told her to quit buying geldings. We're tired. I'm tired of that. And you don't. There's more money in mares. So we've switched our program and started buying mares and fillies. And she's got horses that are 6 down to a year old, and we're just gonna keep building the program, and as they come up. And I'm telling you anything you don't know, then somebody will hurt themselves eventually doing this. And
at least you can breed them if they get hurt, right?
Exactly, and that's what we're doing.
That's
so
smart. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the basic premise of it.
Yeah.
And I'm head field hand.
So tell us what your day looks like at the farm. Obviously, you kind of, I mean, when she's gone, you're there.
I run the whole show from keeping everything fed, keeping everything. I mean, it's normal farm and ranch stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, if something happens and something gets hurt, like last time she was gone, we had a reset mare, of all things, jump a fence and impale herself with a T-post. And
ugh. Yeah, gotta love those resets.
Just stupid horse
it
business.
It can happen,
I mean,
I know.
Horse business is, you're trusting an animal with the brain the size of a walnut to do a whole lot. And, it's my day-to-day is pretty normal. I take care of our company and take care of the farm stuff and some investments that I've got. And, that's pretty much it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So, like, I saw Jamie a lot this summer up north at the futurities. She's done great, and she's just a little joy to visit with, and then she's always got the little one. What is her name?
Billy Rose.
I love it.
We named her after my grandmother and my Jamie's middle name is Rose. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. She's just like a little mini mom. I mean,
it's even worse when she's at the farm. She's my shadow.
Really? She's daddy's girl.
Oh, totally.
She misses you when she, because Jamie seems to always have her with her. So.
Not on the farm.
No?
No,
I mean at the barrel races.
Oh, I know. But at the farm,
but then when she's home,
she's
daddy's girl.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
She's already knows what a crescent wrench is, and because I'm building a race car, and she's hanging out a lot in the
race
car shop. Yeah.
What's your race car?
It's a 2014 Camaro.
Oh, wow. I had a Rally Sport Camaro when I was 16.
We're making 1,000 horsepower at the crank.
Wow.
We're fixing to go drag.
You're going to race.
Drag.
That's
yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
So I want, like, videos of that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
I mean, I got the need for speed.
I picked a terrible time in this economy to try to build a race car.
You sure did.
You can't find anything.
Parts are probably non-existent like, really expensive.
And then when they have them, they're 6 to 8 weeks out because everybody else is doing the same thing.
Welcome to the new world, right?
Hopefully it'll change soon.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to Billy Rose.
Yes, ma'am.
And so she's kind of a special little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us, this is the part of the story that, you know, I want to get to and Brandon to share is, you know, what happened at the ranch or at your farm when she was, what, a year old?
She was 18 months.
18 months. Mm-hmm. So that's only been how long ago?
She turned 3 yesterday.
Okay,
so
a year and a half.
About 18 months ago.
Yeah. So tell us what happened that day at the farm.
I went and got an old donkey we had on the farm.
Not a real donkey.
No, he's one, a mammoth donkey.
Really? He's, I thought it was like the old tried and true gelding.
He was 22.
Wow.
He was 22 years old. He was 15 hands. He was massive.
Wow. I did not know that. Okay.
I probably told you it was a horse at the other thing.
You did, but this is getting better. Was really a donkey.
Yeah, you could rope off of him. You could barrel race off of him. He was kind of my prank to Jamie growing up, I always wanted a donkey, and my dad was like, I'm not buying you a freaking donkey. There's 73-year-olds over there. Go ride one of those. All right.
I love it. What's his name?
I don't have him anymore. Oh. He's gone now.
Yeah, I understand. Well, tell us why he's gone and doesn't have a name.
All of Jamie's 3-year-olds come running up to the fence, and Billy loved riding Newt. His name was Newt.
Newt.
She loved riding Newt, and he was going to be probably her first pony.
Yeah.
Because he was one of those, he was a good animal, and you could put anybody on him from 90 to 2 years old and go out and have fun.
He was solid.
He'd go do whatever he wanted him to do. But we were this day, so I went, and she was like, go get Newt. So I went and got Newt and just haltered him up. We were walking around the farm, and I walked down to the mailbox on him, and it's about probably 400-500 yards to the mailbox from our house. And
you're on him.
With holding Billy
and
bareback.
And she's in front of you.
Bareback with a halter.
Bareback with a halter on a donkey.
Got her hand on her belly.
Yeah. Like you do all the time.
Nothing different. We had done that. If I'd done it 100
over
times.
Over and over.
I'd done it.
And he's how old?
22.
Yeah.
All
old reliable.
Old Jamie's horses all come running up to the fence. And he spooked. And he went to bucking. And I rode him through 3 hops. And then I was fixing to drop Billy. And I said, cradled her like this. And I rolled off the back. And I crushed my skull. It had a severe skull fracture. And I don't remember a lot until I woke up from my coma. But
wow. And Billy Rose,
didn't have a scratch. She was fine. She was
not
fine.
A so scratch. Was so you took
She was
the
trying
blow.
To wake Dad up by the time Mom got there.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know, what do you call it when you whack your head? You passed out?
Yeah, you're unconscious.
Unconscious, yes, ma'am.
And a major concussion.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it ended
It was a
traumatic brain injury.
Yes, ma'am. I had a skull fracture, brain bleed, and my frontal lobe was damaged. Anyway, I was in bad shape, and I bled a lot. And, I bled so much when I got home from the hospital. 8-10 weeks later, there was still a huge puddle of blood in the driveway. And I felt so bad for my wife having to drive over that every day and think about what happened. But, you know.
It happened, and it was nothing that you could do.
No, ma'am.
I mean, nothing. I mean, obviously, your first response is, like, cradle my child mm-hmm. and protect her.
Mm-hmm.
And you did. Tell us about, you know, your experience. Maybe
the first,
what you remember.
The first thing I remember... was dying and going to heaven.
Wow.
Yeah.
This, at the table, it was like, okay, I need to hear your story. Like, this is good. This is real.
Yeah.
You have nothing, you know, to hide and nothing to.
And I didn't talk about it for almost a year because I didn't believe it was. Because I was having, anybody that's had a head injury, you don't know what's real, what's hallucinations, what's fake, what's fabricated, what's a real memory, and
what you can remember.
What's an imagination? It's all just sitting in there, just jumbled up. And it sounds crazy, but I guess it really is crazy. But
it happened.
I didn't trust it for a year. I thought I was making it up.
And,
wow. And I had that freaking dream every night of what happened when I went
really?
To heaven and talked to God.
So it was like a vision.
Yeah, every night. And I'd be like, God, if this is real, I'll start talking about it. And he's like, yeah, start talking about it. I wouldn't be letting you have this dream every freaking night. Because that was one of the first times. I didn't dream for almost a year and a half or a year, and that was one of my first dreams. And it just was like Groundhog
like,
Day.
Like, why am I being reminded of this?
Groundhog Day every night. And he told me he wanted me to talk about it. So that's when I started telling people. And anyway, I went to heaven, and... it was awesome. I didn't want to leave.
Tell us, what is it like? I mean...
Peace. Peace.
Peace.
That's it. That's it. You don't worry about
anything. I wouldn't want to leave either.
No, you don't worry about anything. Sorry. This
and
is
so different. There was like a calm, a peace. Mm-hmm. I mean, did
I
you see color?
Fear.
What did you see? Anything? Or
I
was
went
it
from complete darkness and fear and anger? And I think that was the part where I was fighting with the paramedics, and they were trying to save my life and get me in the ambulance. It took 8 people to get me in the ambulance.
Wow.
Because when I
came, but you're in probably shock.
When I came to, I was in complete shock. I was punching people, and I was.
You're
you know,
fighting.
I kept telling my
you're
wife.
Fighting.
Jamie says, "All you kept saying is, I want to go take a shower and go lay down and get the blood off of me."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, if I'd done that, I'd have died.
Yeah.
But that's where I attribute the fear and the anger and the darkness. And then immediately it was like a light came on, and it was brilliant white.
White.
And then a door opens, and the room never ended. There was no end to it.
Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And there was a being standing there, and I looked at him, and I went, "Am I dead?" He goes, "Yep." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." And I looked down, and I didn't have any hands.
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of trippy."
Was it like kind of, when you say it's all white and endless, was it like a translucent white?
It would blind us now.
Wow.
It was yeah. brighter than the sun.
Amazing.
And pure.
And what did the being look like?
Us, but in a just shadow.
Angelic, like
just,
an
no,
angelic.
No, it was just a shadow.
Okay. Dark, white.
It was so bright, and I don't know how to explain it, but
wow.
he stuck out like there was a shadow on him. I don't. It was
bright, just overly bright.
Mm-hmm. And he was standing at the gate, a door, and I was like, okay. This is cool.
I'm dead. You're looking at your hands.
What's next?
And you're like, I feel alive.
I looked up. I was like, what's next? And he goes, nothing for you. You can't stay here. And I was like, no, I argued.
I'm good.
It felt like
this
I argued.
Good.
It felt like I argued for a really long time. And, you know, it was literally milliseconds. And because they paddled me back or however they got me back. And
wow.
Then I woke up from my coma.
And how long was that?
I was in a coma, I think 9 days.
Wow. I mean, you really don't know, right, mm-hmm. how long you actually were in the
no,
presence
I,
of God.
I don't. No, I don't, because time is, we created.
Infinite.
Yeah,
with,
well,
yeah,
we created it. It doesn't make, it's, but yeah, that's how quick it was. And that was the first thing I asked the nurse was, how long was I dead? And she goes, how do you know you died? And I said, I just got here from heaven. She's like,
wow.
I'm going to go get the doctor.
Wow.
And then I realized I was married and had a daughter and didn't remember that. And
wow, really?
Yeah,
when you woke up?
Yeah. They had me checked in because I'm a pilot. I got my pilot's license. And they had me checked in at the hospital as a cocky, arrogant, a-hole pilot.
Oh, my God.
I must have been being terrible.
You were a bad boy.
And they had me strapped down. And they had me on suicide watch because of the things I said when I was in my coma. And I was like, it was bad.
Obviously, you were in a battle.
Yeah, and there were
spiritual.
Days. There were days. I think I told you this at the Breeders' Challenge. There were days I was completely normal, and then I'd wake up the next morning and not know who I was, where I was,
the
what
memory
had happened.
Gone.
My memories
again.
Are still shot. It's weird. I feel like I woke up in 1999 or 2005, and back
wow.
then.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where my memories are from that I have.
That you really, that clearly
my,
remember.
My 20s and 30s is what I remember. Like it was yesterday.
And wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be, right, kind of hard to deal with.
It is.
Since you've got, you know, a young child, kind of a new wife.
God bless me, though. About 3 weeks after my accident, I always knew Jamie was important, and I always knew she was somebody special. But and it took about 3 weeks for those memories to come back. And, you know, I got...
I know she never left.
Oh, no.
I mean...
Well, I mean, it was you got to think back to December 2020. COVID lockdown was happening full force. I was not allowed to see anybody. I was not
oh
allowed to leave my
this
room.
This is when that happened,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of COVID.
I was not allowed
boy.
To leave my room. My wife couldn't come see me. And I think my recovery would have been
a lot
faster
yes.
if I had been able to see my family.
I agree with that.
You know, but that's just how it went. Baylor, when I finally got to Baylor Scott and White in Fort Worth, they had a really good rehab team, and there was a lady there that one of these days I'm going to go up and give her a big hug and kiss and bring her flowers because she helped me so much, and she doesn't even know what she did. She was just one of the
angels,
one of the nurses, you know. And but I couldn't. I had to learn how to walk and talk. I didn't know how to tie shoes, but I could balance a checkbook. The brain injuries are just weird.
So what have you learned? Okay, so, well, first of all, let me back up a little bit because I'm still in awe of, like, you know, what you saw and your experience. And for anyone to experience that is just amazing. Obviously, you have a purpose. Obviously, God wants you to share the story.
I was never scared of dying, and now I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I mean, that is good news. You know, I mean, thank you so much.
I always had faith, and I always knew where I was going. And then when it got reaffirmed, I was like, sign me up. I'll go back.
Wow.
Yeah, it's on, and it, but at the same time, it's not on our time. It's on his. Right. We have no control over
He's
that.
He's really in control.
So why worry about it? I'll never worry about it again because I know where I'm going.
That's awesome. So how long were you in the hospital?
6 weeks.
Wow.
6 weeks.
And what kind of treatment did you get when you were in the hospital?
They taught me how to tie my shoes.
Really?
And they helped me learn how to walk. I could walk, but my brain wouldn't tell my legs what to do. It was...
wasn't matching up with the motor.
It's hard to explain. Like, I could tell my left leg to move, and it would do it. And then I would have to tell my right leg. I had to think really hard to get that communication going. And when a lot of times I would talk, my words would be dyslexic. I would talk
backwards,
scrambled.
Okay.
And I had to. Nobody taught me how to deal with that except for I just kept fixing it and working on it. And I talked really slow for a long time because I was forming my sentences and making sure my words were coming out correct. And it was a hell of a year. It sucked.
That I couldn't imagine, you know, experiencing that and then being in a hospital for 6 weeks, can't see your family.
Mm-mm.
So what happened after the 6 weeks?
You want a funny story about what
happened? I want to know the whole story.
Okay, I had been telling the doctors and nurses literally the whole time I was in a coma. They told me this later. All throughout my coma, all throughout my therapy, I just want to go home and feed cows. I just want to go home and feed my cows. All right, so I'm walking with a cane, and because I'm still limping and don't have very good equilibrium and whatnot. I'm going to get home, and my whole family's there, and that was really awesome, but really overwhelming at the same time. And but I told my brother, I said, let's go feed cows. Just get me out of here. Let's go feed cows. It's like, all right.
That Ranger or whatever.
Me being a stubborn... ornery old cuss. I got on the buggy, drove the buggy because I wasn't allowed to drive anything. And I was like, the keys were in the buggy. Drove the buggy. I went over and threw two bags of cubes in the buggy. And I go out to the, and I'm carrying it on my shoulder like I used to. And that's the other thing. I had gone from 240 pounds to 160.
Wow.
In the hospital in that time frame.
Wow.
I
just didn't have an appetite, couldn't eat?
I didn't have an appetite for about a year and a half.
Wow.
I still can go days without being hungry, and then when it'll hit, it hits like a freaking freight train. I eat because it's socially acceptable. I can't smell.
Still
can't smell.
Wow.
But those are really it, other than getting overwhelmed in large crowds and noises that bother me.
So you might have some, you know, post-traumatic.
I definitely do. So I get out there, and I'm feeding cows. And my favorite cow, she always makes the most beautiful babies. I give her a scratch on the forehead. She turns around, and she kicks me square in the... And I was like, okay, God.
I think that was a warning.
God, I get the irony of this. This is hilarious. I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have asked and tried to do what I wanted to do so fast. She kicked me square in the gonads.
And never done that before?
No. I mean, just... And I was... And my brother-in-law, of course, he's panicking because I'm out there with a cane, basically a cane carrying a feed sack, and get cow kicked right in the private part. I was like, all right, God, I get it. That's funny. Yeah. That's funny. I finally got to do what I wanted to get done, and I get kicked square.
but you learned, right?
I got up, I kept fighting, though, and you know, it's here we are.
So did you, okay, so then did you do any other, you know, rehabilitation?
Yes.
So tell us about that because the hospital pretty much kind of got you back to where you could get on your feet and go home.
They kept me alive and sent me home. That's what they did.
Yeah, okay.
Then my mother had been following this guy who works with a lot of special forces guys.
Okay.
A lot of military, a lot of children that drowned. And she called to try to get me into the brain clinic down in Austin. And one of the things I was dealing with was when the pain meds would wear off, my neck was nearly broken. And the pain was excruciating. Like, I would wake up screaming and crying in pain after the drugs wore off.
Mm.
And she got me into this clinic down there in Austin. And it was a God thing, because some guy was flying in from the United Arab Emirates to go to his clinic for a brain injury. He gets to Miami to go through customs. He's got COVID. He had to quarantine, so he couldn't fulfill his appointments. So they're like, if you can have him here Monday,
we have a spot.
We
that
have
open.
A spot, and it's 7 days of intense treatment. And when I say intense, I mean it was 5 or 6 hours a day. And that guy saved my life. Yeah, because he fixed the pain. But he did, you know, he looked at my neck and goes, like, you're this far from breaking your neck. He goes, you could step off that curb and break your neck.
Or get kicked.
Well, by the favorite cat. That had already happened. But, so he laid me down on his chiropractic table, and he's like, I'm going to fix your neck. And I'm like, sure, whatever. I've heard that. Yeah, whatever.
So in this brain injury rehabilitation clinic, Austin Developing Minds?
Austin Center for Developing Minds. Okay. Yes, ma'am. It's in Cedar Park.
Okay. But they had a chiropractor in there.
I was there Tuesday.
Wow. Yeah. So you're still getting treatment.
Every once a month, yeah. But we're starting to think about talking about an exit strategy because I was going once a week. After my week or 10-day intensive, and that was also frustrating because I came home from the hospital 2 days later. I'm in Austin going through this.
So that was not home long.
No, I got
But home. I mean, obviously, you needed
I was in familiar surroundings, even though I was with my mother at my mother and dad's lake house. I was still somewhere familiar, and that was nice. But he was not joking. He laid me on the chiropractic table, and he goes, this is going to hurt. He goes, you're going to come off this table, and you're going to kill me.
Oh, my God.
But he goes, I'll fix it. And he popped me back in, and I did. I come off that table and swing, and I was...
Woo!
But then I went, oh.
Hey.
Oh. So he did it again to the other side. He goes, well, we're not done. That was just one side. We got to pop it the other way. And I'll never forget that. I mean, you could hear it go off like a gunshot when he popped it back in. And, they've got a chiropractor, and they did a lot of...
So putting you back in, did that, like, alleviate some...
Instantly. All the pain that I would have thought was going to be permanent was gone.
Now, like did that help, though, with, like, the nerves to your brain?
Because,
you know, if you got, you know, nerve pinched or something out of balance,
my
it
cerebellum
can
also was torn, and there was something down here. I can't remember all the technical terms for it, but there was brainstem damage. And they ran me through their ringer, and, you know, their intensive was 7 or 10 days. Seven or 10 days, and... And I came home and it was bright. I walked in there looking like a dead guy. I mean, literally, I looked like a dead. I looked like somebody who'd walked out of a concentration camp.
Wow.
You've seen those war pictures?
No color and
no life in their
sunken,
eyes.
Sunken, skinny.
I weigh 200 pounds now, and I'm so glad I'm not 160 pounds anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and God's so good. I work out 3 days a week, and then I'm running the farm and ranch, feeding, building fence, welding. You know, all the stuff cowboys do on the ranch when you got to do it. And,
yes.
You know, I could be dead, but I'm not, so.
Well, I mean, I'm so interested, you know, in what happened to you, your experience. Obviously, you know, God's not done with you yet.
No.
And this is part, of
sharing.
You
were asking about my race car. I put God's not done with me yet across the front windshield.
I love it.
And we did the car. Traumatic brain injury colors are green, so the car is white, so I put green stripes on it.
Love it.
And I put, I'm just glad to be here across the back bumper.
That's awesome.
And we made our maiden voyage in that car last night for my daughter. She wanted to take the race car to her birthday party.
Oh, as, yeah, the show and tell.
So Dad,
or
Dad,
you giving rides and the whole nine.
I risked getting a huge ticket.
And I drove, did you?
Of course not. Of course not. You would never do that with your daughter in the car. No, what I did was I drove an incredibly illegal street car, not street legal car, with the dumps open, which makes it a straight pipe car, all the way down Main Street with a little 3-year-old girl in the back seat, just giggling and having
loving
a blast.
Every minute of
and her favorite songs on the radio. She loves AC/DC, so we were
no
listening to...
No way.
Oh,
which
girl,
one?
Thunderstruck.
I love it. She's going to be a speedster for sure. We better look out for...
Well, you know, Jamie likes fast horses, and I like fast cars and fast airplanes, so...
I love it.
The flying is the one thing I miss.
Yeah,
I,
are you back to that
no,
yet? It's
no,
okay.
Not solo.
But you're driving.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so you've literally been in rehab for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you still going to the same clinic?
Yeah, I was there Tuesday.
Okay.
That's my appointments are getting less and less invasive. And they're a cool clinic. They've got a lot of, they got the lasers and they've got all, I mean, there's a picture somewhere and I'll see if I can find it for you.
I would love to share that
it's
on the podcast, like the before and after.
It's me in therapy and, there are seven women holding lasers, and I've got things on my legs pulsing, and I'm standing on a TheraPlate.
Wow, really?
Vibrating, and there's like seven lasers on me, and I'm playing a video game. You almost feel like just I don't even know what to say. It's just, you're just like a science experiment.
So, well, that's interesting that a TheraPlate is there.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, they have TENS units,
yep.
Or is that PEMF therapy?
They have a TENS. That was used in my initial recovery. Excuse me.
Yep.
And then the cold laser. And then there's another thing. It vibrates, and there's certain pressure points you can hit on your body to stimulate.
So they have, like, stimulated basically working on your brain to, communicate with your motor skills.
In the beginning, I was so exhausted I had to have Jamie take me down there, you know. And long car rides are still – I'll be pretty tired after being –
Today, even.
No, not today. This was pretty
better.
Short. But,
yeah.
Like, a couple of weeks ago, I drove to North Carolina.
Oh, wow, that's a long way.
Yeah, and by the time I got to Birmingham, Alabama, I was done. And I used to could drive that straight through. You know, and I was like, but, you know, now I've got a toddler and a wife and we have a new puppy and I had two kids in the back seat and a grumpy wife. It was time to pull over.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm glad you've got company.
Yeah.
And you know your limits.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big thing to learn when you have a brain injury is your limits.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So what would you, what advice would you give to someone else in our industry, that had or... may get, an injury. What advice would you give to them, after, being in the hospital? And
man, anybody who whacks their head in the horse business or rodeo industry, period, I've had a lot of wrecks that I didn't even think about. And you need to go get looked at. You only get one noggin. And, boy, when it scrambles quick, and it'll set you back. I mean, I was flying every week. I was thinking about buying an airplane and, literally, right before my accident, I had gone and looked at a plane to buy. And I'm glad I didn't do that, but God works in mysterious
ways.
Because now I'd just be sitting there looking at it, calling a buddy, be like, hey, man.
Yeah, can you fly me around?
Fly me around. I'll be your first officer. But don't go get help. Don't diddly-dally. Go get help.
Don't wait.
No, because that's part of the reason I'm doing so good is my family was so proactive, and God worked through that, and got me into that clinic in Austin. If I hadn't gone to that clinic.
I mean, having the guy, cancel and not make it, obviously that was God's way of, getting you. And I'm sure that.
My mom literally called within the hour of them finding out that he was gone.
Wow.
There's no way to know that some guy from the Middle East is flying into this clinic.
Yeah.
People fly into this clinic that I'm going to from all over the world. There'll be people in there from France, Italy. Yeah, it's really fun to go in there and listen to people talk from all over the world, but. They do a lot for children who have drowned.
I've heard that. And I know that you referred Janae Ornelius there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Cole Benedict recently is a friend of ours that owns the DLR Stallion Station there in Weatherford.
Okay, yep.
He had a traumatic brain injury. He fell and whacked his head, and he went down to the Austin Center for Developing Minds. And
wow.
He went through an intensive and called me back. He was, I don't like these people. I was like, yeah, you'll take
Janae's like, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it'll take some time. Now I can
you're
go down there.
You're thankful for it now.
Yeah. Now I'm family with those people after you spend so much time with them. And I go down there and do my thing, and I'm about 3 hours from there. And my mom and dad have a ranch in Hamilton County. And if I get tired, I just swing through the ranch and say hi.
There.
You know, but the tiredness stuff has gone away pretty much now. I've built my stamina back up to.
Good for you.
Yes, ma'am. And working out helps a lot, staying in shape and
exercising.
Yeah,
because
I had the choice.
Are you doing brain exercises now?
They wanted me to find something that I could use my brain, eyes, and my hands.
Okay, together.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I can do that in an airplane. And he goes, you got to wait. I'm not saying you will never fly, but you just need to. And he's right. Being a pilot in command, you ultimately know when you're ready to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not. So I started building models. Went back to my childhood, started building models.
Huh.
Got really tired of building battleships. Really tired
of
building.
Are you doing race cars now?
Yeah. I work on my race car all the time with my guy who's helping me build it. He's a traumatic brain injury survivor as well.
Wow.
And haven't really thought up a name for our race team that's clever.
Oh, it's got to be good.
But we're calling it TBI Racing right now.
Yeah.
We just got to come
like
up with
that.
Something catchy, you know.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I'll pray about
who needs a
something.
Brain to race, you know, something like that. Something
who
like
needs
that.
Brains when you have horsepower?
Yeah, that's awesome. But, I forgot where I was going. See, that's what's brain injury.
No. So I've got a question. So when you got injured, did you have any health insurance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did they cover?
They did not cover the ambulance ride, but they covered, I want to say.
Hospitalization?
Over 90%, because it was $250,000.
Wow.
And I remember.
Was that for your just first 6 weeks in the
mm-hmm.
hospital?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, the Austin Brain Center doesn't take insurance.
Okay,
it's cash
so that
only.
Was where I was going next.
Cash only, yeah.
Is so this, you know, to get rehabilitated. Most people don't want to stay in the condition, right, that you were in.
No.
I mean, you
I
obviously
be
knew.
Here if I
mean,
in
your
that condition.
Family knew that, mm-hmm. you know, he's not. You know, not aware of everything, and he needs
They told me
help.
I was going to have the mentality of a six-year-old boy, and I told the doctor, I said, well, my wife might think that's an upgrade. But I literally looked
I
at that
it.
Doctor and used some very colorful language and told him basically,
I'm gonna, not going to believe
You're
going
to hold my beer and watch this, because I'm walking out of this hospital a 40-year-old man who can take care of his family.
Wow.
And he looked at me and goes, well, best of luck. Told me I'd never drive.
You need to write him a little letter, I think.
Well, I went and saw him.
Really?
Yeah, we had a pretty nice little talk.
Nice.
After I got out of the brain, after I got home from Austin, I went and saw him. And he's like, I don't think I ever need to see you again. And I was like, I agree.
I just wanted to come and let you know how I was doing.
Yeah, because he said some pretty gnarly things, and he could have jacked up my life. And I just went to make sure he didn't do those things.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when somebody's in that condition, you know, even if you were a young child, I could not imagine.
I didn't have anybody advocating for me other than my wife over the phone. And, yeah, that was.
The power of positivity, you know.
Everybody, like, that I've known that has had a traumatic brain injury, their family was there immediately. And those people have.
Pushing for them.
Those people have recovered. I mean, every brain injury is different. You and I could have the same injury and our symptoms would be different.
Yeah.
But people who got to have their families around them seem to get better a lot faster than I did. They're going to have some residual long-term effects like I am dealing with.
Yep.
I mean, perfectly honest with you, I forgot I was even coming to Guthrie till this morning. I know I had somewhere to be on Thursday, but I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, it's
and
all
Jamie,
good.
And Jamie's like, we're going to Guthrie. And I was like, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
I better get prepped
for
this.
I can't let Sharon down. Sharon didn't let me prep for it. She didn't send me a reminder email or nothing.
I told him, it's off the cuff. This is just, you know, just lay it out there. This is God's will. So I have like have so many good friends, including you now, that you know have been injured in our just within our industry and accidents, you know, that just can happen. And everybody kind of has the same story as far as, you know, I had to learn to walk again. I mean, I don't know anybody else that kind of went to heaven and came back. So I thought that was really interesting.
I paid a pretty good price for it.
And no, I appreciate you being here to share that by all means. But, you know, I have a desire now to, it's like I've kind of found, you know, my charity that I want to give back to. Because I had head injuries as a very small child, like the age of your daughter right now.
Right.
And so I always just thought it was normal you didn't have a memory of my childhood. And so I've been taking brain supplements, you know, for about 8 years now when I kind of became aware of how barrel racing has a form of G-force that, you know, just jiggles that brain.
Just the jarring. You know, your teeth.
Yes.
I'm surprised more of y'all don't have mouthpieces, but.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm part of that program, too, you know, that wants to be as healthy as I can in my brain. I mean.
And I want to give back, too, and that's why you and I are sitting here talking. So.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to share before we, sign off today on the podcast is we're starting a 501c3 foundation for brain injury awareness.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, just gonna kind of just start with helping people in our industry. Just wanted to let people know, you know, that that's in the works and it's designed to give people awareness, share your testimonies, you know, in this foundation, and then donate, take donations. I'm the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to donate my Breeders' Challenge saddle. I won two, fortunate enough to win two saddles there. I don't need two, and I'm willing to donate and give away one of those saddles, and I'd like to auction it off, and whoever felt led, you know, to buy it, everything will go towards that foundation, and then we're going to have directors, and we're working on that now, and, you know, set up a fund to where people can donate. We can do online auctions for other people, you know, to give away items that they feel led to do to a great cause, and then this is going to go help and fund people that get hurt that don't have insurance. Right. I mean, these clinics, I mean, they are counting on other people helping, you know, donate funds to get people healed and back to walking and living again. Mm-hmm. I just visited the Patriot Clinic up here in Oklahoma City yesterday.
I've heard good things about it. That's the one with the hyperbaric chamber?
Yes, they have I think four or five hyperbaric chambers in there.
I haven't done any of that.
So I would recommend,
Did you do one?
Well, I did the scan yesterday. And that was, I haven't got my results yet, but I'm waiting and I'm scheduled to do my first hyperbaric chamber treatment tomorrow. So I'm going to give you Mike's.
It's going to dig up a lot.
I'm sure.
Like as we were progressing through my therapy, my doctor goes,
is that
okay,
the next step?
No. He's like, you've been hard on yourself. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, how many car accidents and horse wrecks have you had? And I was like,
he must have read your brain scan.
Yeah, and he, you know, and when you have a injury as severe as mine, it triggers all the older injuries too.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So he was finding, you know, I flipped a truck, rolled a truck like four or five times when I was 16. He's like, yeah, you've had a bad car accident. I was like, well, yeah, my head hit the freaking windshield and head bounced off it. I was like, pinballing, but I said,
I was
25 years ago, man. And he goes, no, it's still there.
Wow.
And I'm like, he goes, how many horse wrecks have you had? I was like, dude,
can't even count.
Don't ask me that. Don't ask me that. I broke horses for my dad for years. Don't ask me that. No.
So is there, you know, is there.
That's what I was getting to, though. When you go into that cryogen, that scan's going to show them things. And they'll tell you, you've had a lot of bangs and booms in your time.
And it's crazy how, you know, it's still like, I don't know if it's like a bruise or what, but like, I mean, kind of how Andrea Klein in her podcast the other day was kind of explaining, it's like when I hit the ground, the initial, you know, impact was here, but then when I came back, I mean, it bruised the other opposite side.
Oh, yeah,
designed to go back and forth in the skull.
My injury was right here on the left side, and all my damage was in the right front.
Right. It's like this took the impact, but then when it bounced back.
Your brain's in a bag, just sitting in there.
Yep. I mean, it's incredible. So, I mean, I am just so, you know, enthused about learning more about, you know, brain injury and then how to rehab your brain. I mean, there's still hope.
I mean,
obviously, this is a living testimony of what happens, you know, when you get hurt, you die, and you come back. So, thank you so much,
yes,
Brandon,
ma'am,
for coming and sharing your story.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we'll give all of our followers and viewers, you know, information about the Austin Developing Minds Clinic.
Austin Center for Developing Minds.
Okay,
yep.
And then
they do awesome stuff.
Yep, we're going to give that information at the end of the podcast, as well as the Patriot Clinic up here in Oklahoma City. There are options for people.
Yes, ma'am.
So, I'm really wanting to work with these guys. They work with a lot of veterans.
Yeah.
Obviously,
that's
your
primary
center works with.
Yeah.
The children that have drowned.
There's not many people harder on their heads than vets and rodeo contestants.
Yes, I know. Well,
and race car drivers, I guess, maybe. Yeah.
I actually gave a donation yesterday when I did my scan. It was like $100. And I donated more for 4 more people. And the guy was like, wow, this is really awesome that you would do that. But, I mean, and we have a guy, Dusty, that just got hurt. I guess he's a bronc rider. And he's in there getting treatment right now. So that got him 4 more treatments.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's in the hyperbaric.
That's what we need to do.
Yep. It's like give back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
ma'am.
Anyway, we appreciate you, Brandon, for being on
Thanks
Barrel
for
Talk
me.
Radio, brought to you by Barrel Horse World, sponsored by Pro Series Tech.
Thanks to Sharon Hall and her guest, Brandon Wilson. That was one of the most interesting podcasts we have heard her do so far this week. We will follow up with you. And also thank you, all of you out there, for listening to another podcast on Barrel Horse World, home to the new Barrel Talk Radio. Please go there to sign up and get the latest podcasts.